Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here virtually with you, Jordana. What's been going on? How you been? How you doing? Are you staying healthy? Are you okay? Is the typing still loud?
Can you hear it? It's happening right as we speak. If you can't hear it, that's a good thing. Yeah.
You're like the neighbor in Friends. Just listening for the typing all day long.
That's me. Well, we just got into a little mini tiff about who had to go into the bedroom to take their call, even though I told him that I was recording a podcast at 3.
Yeah. Podcast, like, I feel like, takes press. I mean, I'm saying that because I had to, you know, Jess is in the hallway on a phone call. So I'm taking your side because it helps me out as well.
Right? I don't know. I thought, so...
You know, I feel like a recorded production, you know, you can, a phone call can be taken anywhere. That's the real difference.
Right. Well, and then, well, he's like, well, like, are you posting the video? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
We don't know what's going to happen.
I already called dibs. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's one of the exemplary quarantine tiffs that one can expect.
Listen, it's all out there. It's all happening. All the arguments are had right in front of each other. You can't get away from each other. It's just, you know, I think this is like one of those things that, like, I think the best thing that I've done is I always just go, what? Tell me now. Tell me what's annoying. Get it out. Let's have
it.
Let's
do this.
Give it to me. Let's do it. Let's duke it out now because we got to do it. Because there was a one point where I tried tiptoeing around it, and I was like, "No, no, 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 this ain't gonna work for me. We gotta wrestle this out right now."
It's the only way to survive. It's the only way to survive.
Is constant communication, constant "Are you okay?"s, constant "Hey, what's on your mind? Tell me. Give me a hug now." You know.
Yeah, you're the Forrest Tucker too. We'll talk about that. We have some special guests on at the end of this episode.
Yeah, we're very excited to be joined by Taylor Tomlinson and Sam Morrell. They're great. They're a recent couple that quarantined together. So we thought that would be a fun conversation to kind of hear how they're doing it. Because that's been a question that people are getting a lot of.
It was. Yeah, they were great. We recorded that right before this. Have you seen this thing? Those Instagram challenges? Have you seen this thing where it's like the first photo challenge?
It annoys me. It annoys me
too.
The first photo challenge is annoying because it annoys me because how many women write into this show, and I have to take the guy's perspective on this because that's what we do on this show. But I've been in that position where I've been dating someone for a few months and I'll be like, hey, I think, you know, I don't want to get too serious. And the girl will go, well, who said I want to be serious? And it's like, well, I'm not saying that, but it feels like we're going in that direction and that's not what I'm looking for. Well, you know, I don't want to be serious. Why? Who says I want to be serious? I'm not looking to get married. That's what girls go straight to marriage as if that's the next step in the relationship. And
that's where we see it ending.
Yeah, well, all the while, you guys have a photo of the first time we met just ready to go for a challenge that you don't even know is about to happen.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me about the first photo challenge is I feel like it contributes to this, like, glorification of a thing that actually requires a lot of work and isn't as pretty as, like, here's... Because, like, it's so funny. I see all these girls posting these pictures of these first photos. And I'm like, yeah, I remember you when you were in that stage of that relationship and you were a fucking mess.
Yeah,
like you were unsure if he was into you and like he was giving and he told you like he wasn't really ready. And like now you're painting to the world this like
sure.
this image of like well, how things are, how things go that isn't real.
Well, we talk a lot about like, you know, social media and how you can like sound good. There's no the person that disagrees with it is the miserable shit in the punch bowl type of person right. where because what you're actually painting and I agree with you completely is you're painting a picture that the relationship was so good from beginning until now. That you guys were like, let's take the first picture together as if right. you and the guy knew that it was just up, up, and up. You guys are just the stock market going straight up. When the stock market, the reality is it goes like this. It goes up and down and up and down, and you hope it goes up, and sometimes it crashes. So it's like
right.
that picture, without saying it, it's that you guys had an A, B, C, D relationship.
A linear increasing
rise to the top. And I had a girl I used to date. She posted the first picture challenge. And then it was a girl I used to date. She posted the first picture of her and her now husband. And it was the first picture. Then she was like, and here's the second date we went on because the first date we got blackout. And then the third picture in the Instagram stories. And she goes, and now we have this. And it was just their baby. And it was like, that's not how it went. It
right.
didn't go first date, second date, baby. It went first date. I don't know if he wants to go out. He hasn't texted me since we fucked.
Right.
Second date, because I had to ask. Third date, he wasn't really even a date. We just kind of met up late night. Fourth date, we didn't really have it because we got in a fight. And now we have a baby. Like, it's like...
It's an inaccurate glory. It's like a rom... It's pretending that your life is a rom-com. Which
absolutely.
I feel like... alienates one, the single people who are looking at it, because it makes it think that you're way happier than you are. One.
Yes.
And makes them feel bad about their singleness. And two, I just think it like it's just bullshit. You're projecting it's a very clear example to me of projecting like a bullshit picture of happiness.
Totally agree. The one thing I'll let them off the hook with is nobody posts a picture or like you don't really post a picture thinking of the people that aren't in relationships. You're not
right.
real. I don't think people post a picture. Like when I post like a tweet that's like, you know, about my girlfriend and I, when I post a tweet about us, I'll have one person be like, we get it. You have a girlfriend. And it's like, I'm not fucking bragging. I'm not like right. I'm dead.
Well, you are actually not bragging because.
Yeah.
If you were a woman, I think it would be more likely that you kind of would be. It's kind of like you're flaunting your thing like
but
a little bit.
But not
to say that you are bragging, but I think it's kind of like that like Ariel Charnas rant you went on the other day, which I thought was very accurate and very on point.
You.
Where it's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, and it's true for the bigger you get. It's like the bigger you get, the more you kind of have to think about like how does what I'm doing. What does it look like to like other people? What message does it send to people?
Yes. What does it say to people? I hear you. I do think that like when I post a tweet about Jess and I, it's usually a joke about me being a doofy idiot boyfriend or mm-hmm. me being in a position where like I'm like becoming aware to how relationships kind of work. And I think when you post that picture without any semblance of, you never think to post, like, I would understand that, like, a non-comedian, a non-personality would be like, oh, here's our first picture, here's what we look like. There's no thought in them to be like, oh, and here's a picture of the shit he left in the toilet, like, that he forgot right. to flush. Like, I do understand that, but I don't know, what would you be your solution? Like, if someone posted their first picture, what would you solve it? Like, how do you make yourself not look like that? Just not participate?
I mean, like, you could participate if you want, especially the average person probably doesn't have quite as much weight around the influence, like, isn't influencing people quite as much as, like, a celebrity or a larger sure. influencer. So, like, I don't think the stakes are so high. Like, if you really, if you want to participate, you can participate. But I think you could participate knowing that, like, knowing that it's a little bit of bullshit, which, again, like, yeah. a lot of the things we do on social media are. It's not like I haven't posted a picture where, like, which was might have been slightly misleading of my happiness level. Sure. I'm not, like, totally immune from doing that kind of thing. I think it's just kind of like the awareness, especially it's more about, and you can't really control what you do or what other people do. It's more about, like, when you're looking at those things, I think it's important to remind yourself, whether that's about yeah. someone who's showing off their relationship or how, or their success or anything else that they're proud of, just the sense of, like, it's not quite as easy and simple and, like, happy as it seems. Like, there's a lot of stuff that they're not sharing about those things that,
well, it's also going to
be a situation.
It's also going to be cathartic to hear us talk about it. Like, I do think that someone listens to this podcast and has the same, you know, feeling that we're putting into words, which is like, I see that picture, I feel bad. And it's up to you and I to be like, yeah, you feel bad because this picture basically makes it seem like these two had this, like, roller coaster ride to wedding bliss that didn't exist.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. 50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
We do get a lot of questions about social media stuff in this time. I think we should probably talk about that.
We do. We had an email. I'll read it. It's about that. J&J, thanks for the great content to keep us entertained on lockdown. COVID question here. Since in-person dates are on hold, what are your thoughts on when to connect with dates over social media? I matched with this guy on Hinge, and we've had some good back and forth over text and one phone call, but he just sent me an Instagram follow request. My account is private. I think that is way too soon because I've never met the guy, but would you two recommend in light of the delays and actually meeting, what would you two recommend in light of the delays of meeting people in real life?
I think this is like such a thin line question because mm-hmm. What I'll say will sound like it contradicts. I don't think you should be above interactions with people right now, like in the ideas that they propose, but you should also do what feels right for you. So right. like, I do think that there's a difference. Like if a guy tries to follow you on Instagram, you know, after you guys have had a good conversation on Hinge, then you know, to me, I'm like, that's okay to not accept that request. Mm. But I would say if a guy after your Hinge conversation says, hey, Tuesday, let's do a FaceTime. I think you don't like him that much if you don't want to do that FaceTime. Do you understand the difference okay, yeah. with those two? Like, I think there's a difference between, you know, between following you on social media as if you guys known each other 7 years and getting to know someone?
Explain it to me one more time.
So, like, I think there's a difference between following someone on social media as if you guys have this whole relationship and are just being friends and just getting to know each other. You getting to know each other isn't done through following and through friending. Getting to know each other is through making efforts and picking up the phone and doing a FaceTime and doing a Zoom meeting. Like, though, one is kind of is more of an effort than the other. Like, one is you just looking to check them out, and the other is you actually taking the time to get to know somebody. I think it's a thin line.
Okay. So, like, you're saying it almost like case by case?
Well, I would say, like, if you're okay with someone, I think when someone follows you on Instagram, they're not doing it to get to know you. I don't think they're doing that to investigate you. Like, they're not letting, you know, like, they're looking, you know.
Well, they're doing it to find out if you're, like, a little bit of a freak, maybe, or if, you know, to see if you actually look like what you say, what you're showing, what you look like, more evidence for, you know, defining who you are.
Totally. But you could also get finding out what they look like over a FaceTime. Like, instead of these, like,
not a bikini
painted
shot.
Not a bikini. Well, that's a thing. That's him. Like, if I was to follow someone on Instagram, that is it's at my convenience. I get to make whatever assumptions I want about you. I can look at you and your family on the holidays, look at you in a bikini, look at you all with your friends. Okay, they're that hot. They're that, you know, and I can make all my own assumptions without ever having to speak to you again or ever having to, like, make an effort on your time that we all agree on. When you do a FaceTime, it's like, I just think, like, it's okay to be, like, kind of turned off by the Instagram follow, even though we're going through a different time where, you know, I do think that the guy could look at you and go, oh, I'm just trying to get to know you. Like, people are going to be following you more right now because there is the excuse of, well, we can't get together, so I figured I would connect more with you on social media. That, to me, is bullshit.
Right. I would agree with that because it's a superficial way, like you said, of getting to know someone. If they really want to get to know you, they'll have a conversation with you. They'll devote an hour to speaking with you on FaceTime.
Totally. And when they choose one over the other, they're choosing a very different relationship over the other. You know, like, I could sit here, I could go follow someone today on Instagram. If I was a single guy, I could go follow someone on Instagram. Hang around. It would be the same as me being at the same party with you, where I was at the same party. We never spoke, but we looked at each other across the room. Then in 6 months, I could say, hey, remember we met at that party? I think we were at the same party. That's why I started following you. We should hang out late tonight. Now it's like, oh, well, I know him and I trust him. You've built trust that really wasn't deserving to you.
Right. What if they did, like, what if you start speaking to someone on the apps during this thing? You have a FaceTime date. FaceTime date goes well. After the FaceTime date, then they follow you.
I would be okay with it. Again, that's kind of when it comes down to, like, what you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable with that, like, I think it's okay to be uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like I think it's okay to be like, hey, for my own sanity, I'm not going to mix these worlds because I think you know, we've talked a little bit about this.
I'm not
going
to subscribe to constant updates about your life.
Exactly.
That's,
like,
fair.
Let's see how this goes. Let's see how much effort you make otherwise to get to know me other than the, you know, like, the book report you're writing about my life via these Instagram updates.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when you like meet someone, you see someone and you haven't seen them in forever, but you know everything about their lives.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then you see them, like, I always, like, whenever I see someone like that, I go, hey, the vacation looks awesome. Like, I always get in front of it because I don't want to, like, reveal that I have this knowledge that I didn't even, like, want to have. You could have knowledge about people via Instagram and Instagram stories and via Twitter and via, like, all social media without even trying to.
Right. It's also just funny. People, like you said, like, people follow each other so casually now, but without thinking what, when they think it's so easy, like, oh, you're just following someone. It's no effort. It's no nothing. But it's actually like, if you replace the word with follow with get consistent and daily updates about what you're doing all day, like that makes it a lot bigger of a deal. And that's actually what it is.
Yeah. And I think it's like, you know, it's actually self-protection. Like when we say
masturbating.
Well, that's true. But when women say like, well, I feel like I get too connected to a guy if we have sex, like that's a totally normal thing to say because it's sex and we're like, okay, you were naked and all that. You could say the same thing about Instagram. I think I get too emotional. Like you could own the fact that I get too emotionally connected with people I follow on Instagram, and I'd like to keep you away from that because I don't want you mixing in with my best friends and with the guys I used to date and with the guys that, you know, the guy I know from high school and my parents.
I think it's totally okay to say that. I'm not ready to let you into that part of my life yet because if you wouldn't actually introduce them to those people, why are you digitally introducing them to those people?
And digitally mixing them in with them in the same group. They're not a punk. You wouldn't have them at the same party.
Exactly. If you wouldn't do it in real life, I don't think you have to do it virtually. I think that was a very good answer if we do say so ourselves.
We did it. Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Send in your awkward sex, UUP@Betches.com. Hey, my favorite life coaches. This is a very specific scenario, but I feel the global crisis has made it a bit more relatable. During the record-setting California wildfires in the summer of 2018, an old high school classmate, post-college fling of mine, planned to be in town for a night before heading to a family event. I just moved back to my hometown for a job, so I was staying with my parents while I found an apartment. Luckily, my parents planned to be out of town when he was supposed to visit, so I basically planned on a sex marathon. Well, after many hours of drinking and flirting, we finished round one and then heard a knock at the door. He answered half naked to find my grandparents. They'd been worried about the evacuations due to the fire and had decided to drive south and crash at my parents' house, obviously oblivious to my parents being out of town and my X-rated plans. Dressed in a robe and with cum running down my leg, I helped my grandparents get settled in. And then because we'd had enough drinks and we resumed my planned activities. As if that weren't enough, the weird sex part is that 2 months later, while sexting, he told me that the way I'd handled the situation was sexiest thing he'd ever seen. And he just wanted to bend me over the couch right then. Natural disasters highlight the best and worst parts of us, and not sure where this falls. Hope you can find a good name. What do we think?
I like this story.
It's a great story.
It's very much like I agree. It's kind of hot. You're just owning the situation. You're remaining calm, and you're continuing about your day.
Yeah, I'm with him. I think I'm with him on thinking she's hot for how she handled it. This is definitely hot. The idea of a woman taking control, being like, I got cum on my legs. I don't give a fuck. Grandma, get the hell downstairs. I made the bed. Grandpa, I got your hot milk. And now we're going to go out and I'm going to go fuck again. Like, that's hot. That's kind of the equivalent of like a girl taking the hair and putting it up in a bun to suck a dick. Like, that's great.
I was going to say a guy like rescuing you from or taking charge, but your analogy works too. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like there's like so I do have his back on it being hot and thinking back to that moment. I don't understand why if I was at someone's house, I would never open
the door
for their house.
I agree with that. That's very bold on his part, too.
Like, who is he? The hey, oh, what's up, Nana? Oh, I was just fucking your granddaughter. Like, what? How do you even open the door? Like, I don't care how drunk you are. I would literally, if I heard the doorbell, I'd go, ah! And then I'd, like, run behind the fucking counter and be like, don't tell Nana that we have sex. I don't know what we're doing. You know, like.
Yeah, that's very presumptuous. My stepdad once, I was at my mom's house and I logged into my Netflix account and then I forgot to log out. And I got home and I put on like the Netflix and my stepdad Ken had like made his own account.
Oh my! That, yeah, that's that's.
It was like Jordana, kids, Ken. I'm like, Ken, we're not on that Ken. Level. Get your own.
Ken, what's wrong with you?
Just help yourself to an account.
Do you have a name for this this sexual encounter?
I just had. How about the California wildfire crotch?
Wild, I like that.
The wildfire crotch.
I like the I was gonna call it old salty leg.
Okay.
Just for the cum leg situation.
Yeah.
Grandpa's coming to dinner, and you spell cum cum.
Oh, I like that. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. I was thinking. No, that's all I got. Is it a red flag or deal breaker? I think this is great.
I think it's good. It's positive.
Yeah. And has anything ever happened like this for you?
No, I would say the closest thing was Ken making his own account on Maya.
Yeah, I guess there's been like some sexual encounters in this household that have come up against the clock of a Zoom meeting.
Oh,
but
wow.
That's really like where it's like, no, I got to sign on in 3 minutes. And it's like, okay, okay. And that does have the feeling of like, you do kind of sign on going just like, hey, cool. Hey, everybody.
Sorry, what's up? I'm a little out of it today.
Oh, yeah. I'm just a little sweaty.
Well, glad things are spicy over there.
Spicy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Yeah. All right. I'll read it. Hey, J&J, love the podcast. Been a loyal listener from the start and very bummed your Boston show got canceled, Jared.
They're not canceled. Postponed. I'll be there in the fall.
Postponed. He'll be back in the fall.
I have to pay for this a new apartment. Please fucking come.
Don't be upset. Just maintain your ticket.
Postponed.
So I met this guy on Hinge mid-February and we hit it off right away. We went out on 2 dates, stayed in contact through each of us taking a vacation, hung out 2 times after that during the beginning of the city's lockdown, no quarantine in place yet. Then quarantine hit and we haven't been able to see each other now for a couple of weeks. Our texting started dwindling down and maybe we would have one convo every 2 to 3 days or so. We'll also add in that we have hooked up. Early into our dating, I noticed he changed his Hinge profile around, but didn't think too much into it since we had only gone out twice. And now during quarantine, he has changed his profile again, twice. So I decided to just cut my losses here and text him how I felt. Please let me know if this was the right way to go about these things. I didn't really feel like consulting my friends about this, haha, but I'm a little embarrassed. Photo attached. Also, he never answered, and it's been a full day now. Would love to hear your thoughts. All right.
You're going to read her message that she sent him.
She writes,
two times the Hinge update.
Twice, four times, it sounds like. Two in the beginning.
Four times.
Two recently.
Yeah.
Hey, random, but I noticed that you've changed your Hinge profile a couple of times since we met.
First of all, this isn't random at all.
Random.
This is the least random thing.
Random, aka, like, I've been thinking about this nonstop for the past 36 hours and just trying to figure out how to vocalize this.
Random, but your profile comes up every time I pull up Hinge.
Random, but I noticed that you've changed your Hinge profile a couple of times since we've met. Granted, we met on Hinge and have only hung out a few times. I tried to not let it bother me, but the continuation of the changes is now starting to make me feel like shit. It feels embarrassing to me that you are actively changing your profile, trying to find a better, quote unquote, suitor than you have already met. Obviously, we haven't talked about putting a label on anything and quarantine isn't helping, but I did tell you that I like you. I think we're just looking for different things right now, and maybe it's best if we don't stay in touch.
Yeah, okay. I have no issue. Her question, I guess, was, did I do this? Was this the right way to go about it? And I here's what I will never say. I'll never tell her she's wrong. She's not wrong for how she felt. I don't know what the way she wrote this message, I think, is dishonest.
I would call this, and I've been there, and I've thought these thoughts, and maybe I've even written them, but not sent it, which is, I mean, it's totally fine. This is what I would like to call spiraling.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, and I've done it before, and I get what it is, and I get how you can get there, and I can get how you cannot see it while being in it, but it's when a little thought pops into your head and then you turn it around and it spirals into this thing that is like this very offensive thing. And you jump to all these conclusions and you paint this picture of this like person doing something to you. And then you're suddenly a victim when nothing has even really happened.
Yeah.
But in your mind, that's not really.
Don't you think it's okay for her to be let? She can be let down that she's seen updates to a profile of a guy that she's gone on dates with. Like, obviously, you're two different pages.
I agree. You can be like, it can be a little disheartening, but I think what she's done,
I agree.
It's disheartening, right? But I think that what she's allowed it to do is spiral into a thing that means more than it does, and she's basically projecting these feelings onto this person. When she's saying, like, you read this text, this is her imagining what this guy is thinking.
Yeah.
Placing those thoughts on him and then blaming him for those thoughts when he never said any of these things. She's thinking them, right?
You're the problem is she's right. Like he's not thinking of it as I'm looking for better suitors. Well, I got the old wench back home. Let's see what I can catch in the sea. Like, he's not thinking of it that way. But
right, that's what I'm saying. She's like, she spiraled her thought into projecting that thought onto him, and now it's like he's in this grand scheme to like abandon and find a better suitor.
Yeah, like, but to me, it's like it's like
you're saying it doesn't even matter.
Well, the way she put it, it doesn't matter because he can't really disagree with it. Like, it's like when if you stole a candy bar from 7-Eleven and they called it a felony, you'd be like, I guess you got me. Like, you know, like I think she has no what she did. This text, like, for her to say she was embarrassed. Embarrassed to who? Like,
right. That was my other question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that. So what she's trying to do is to this text. I don't think there's a difference between her question is very specific. Is this the right way to go about things? Well, if you, I don't think it's wrong to feel upset. Just like we both said, it's not wrong to feel disheartened. I think the way you went about it is in a way where you left the door. You're like, and he hasn't even answered. You dumped him. But you didn't dump him. You did everything but dump him. You made this dumping his decision. You left the door open for him to come back and go, no, I didn't mean it that way. And let's go out and let's be more and I'll get off the app. And I don't think that's the way to get someone to like you more or to go down the road with you towards a more serious relationship. I think this person wanted her feelings were reaffirmed by them. So she's put her feelings in this guy's hands and was hoping for an answer back. She texted looking for a specific answer back.
Which you always say, do not do.
That's the wrong way to go.
Right.
To me, that's like, you know, she needs to have more confidence in her feelings and own what she likes more than going, well, if he likes me, I like him. Because that's what this text kind of is getting him to try and say. And it's trying to make him lie to her, which is not really. She should. You either end it, you either see it, understand that this isn't as far along as you would like it to be because you like him a lot, and you go forward with that information, or you end it. And you did the in between, is my issue.
Right. If I were her, I think I would have said, like, hey, I happened to notice that I went on Hinge total. I noticed that you changed your profile picture a couple of times. I get it. It's early in us dating. I'm not like, you haven't done anything wrong by still being on the apps. That's not like, but I do kind of feel like I'm a little further along in this. And so it hurt my feelings a little bit. So I'm just wondering, like, before I get too invested in this, just wondering, like, where you were at with this, or do you feel like this is going somewhere? Or do you feel like
But didn't he answer that by changing his profile? Like, isn't that already answered?
Well, maybe he did that just kind of out of like boredom, or like, I mean, I guess you would know that part better. But I feel like you can kind of casually, you can be like browsing something and like still dating people and keeping your options open. You are still pursuing someone more seriously.
I don't think that he's wrong for updating his profile. I think he's within his rights. I also think that he could update his profile while still very much liking getting to know this person.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's both can be true.
Right. Well, that's why I think the way she should have gone about it was to just be like, this is what I noticed. This is how it made me feel. I kind of felt like for me to have some peace of mind, I would love to know a little bit more about how you feel about the situation, just because it brought this to the light that we might be on different pages.
Yeah. I don't know how he answers that. The answer isn't really like going to get her anywhere. Like, if I was asked that, I would be like, yeah, I enjoy our time together, but I'm also still dating people and I'm still out there. Then
she can say like, okay, I feel like I'm a little bit more invested in this than you, and I'm looking for someone who's kind of on the same page as me. Maybe we're not the match, but I'm saying to do it like that would be not to be like placing the blame for her feelings on him. And like the way she's doing it here is she's spiraled again, this emotion, which is a valid emotion, but then she's placed it on him and blaming him for how she feels, which is not responsible for.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I guess my text to him would have been, I saw this. I like you. It sucks that I saw that. Just want to let you know. And now it's up to him to like say, you know, at that point, I guess it would be his responsibility to pursue you or not. But nobody likes to be in that position of like the vagueness of that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like let's say she sends that text, hey, I like you. And I saw this on Hinge and it kind of sucks. And like his response could be, why are you on Hinge? You know, you're on there.
She could
too.
Be like, because you didn't update you.
Well, but just because she didn't update her profile doesn't mean she's not still on there.
Right.
So it's like, she hasn't deleted it. So like, you know, that point from him would be like, yeah, you haven't deleted it. We're obviously both still out there. We're in this kind of like gray area of the quarantine where I can't come see you. We can't see me. I can't hang with you enough to get me away from this app. That's a lot of times people.
No one's going to say that.
I know, but I'm saying like, but a lot of times people leave the app because they are caught up with a person already. Like, that's what gets you off of the app. That's why so many people are like, hey, I thought I deleted it and my account's still on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of why that happens, is people, and that's a pretty like okay response to go, yeah, we were dating and I was into this and I kind of like lost track of the app. That's not really my priority right now. You've been more of a priority than the app. That you know, the person at a certain point takes over for the app. And that's kind of the more natural way than two people looking at each other and going, let's delete on three. Like, that's not the way it happens. The way it happens is you use it less and less because you're less interested in looking because you're spending time with someone new.
Right. I think what she did, though, is she's like, she's seeing that he's updating the app and she's like, why is this person doing this to me?
Yeah, right? I agree.
Like, why am I not good enough for this person that they feel the need to still be updating and finding new people on the app? Like, she's made this action, which probably has almost nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
It
sucks because it's like if someone was like, came up to you and was like, had hidden camera footage of Mike a month into you guys dating. So, like, if someone, like, followed him into a bar and then the hidden camera footage saw him smile at someone, like, that's never going to happen. But that's kind of the equivalent of this.
Right. It's like getting footage from a guy in a bachelor party a month into dating. Yeah. Like, you don't want to see that.
and you would never have to be put face to face with it. But, like, updating the profile is the equivalent of, like, shooting eyes at someone. When you're a month into dating someone, like, that can happen. And if you live in a world where that doesn't happen, you're living in delusion.
Right. And it's the kind of thing where it's like, sucks that you know about it. And mm-hmm. if we live in a world where it's pretty easy to find out about that kind of thing. So, like, do you think the solution is to just like not check?
I think the solution is, if you like this guy enough to get mad at him being on an app, then you liked him enough to delete the app yourself. So, like, you know, like that's kind of the issue here. It's like, oh man, this really hurt me. I actually like this guy. Maybe it's time for you to delete the app and go, hey, and let them know that. Hey, I just want to let you know I've deleted the app and I'm concentrating on us. And that's a harder thing to do. Like, I'm not saying that's like an
right,
easy
especially
piece of
given
advice.
That you know that they're updating
yeah,
it, then it's a real
it.
Test.
But if you deleted the app and you concentrated your conversations on this guy, maybe, you know, they would see that you're putting more pressure on them to hang out more and FaceTime more and Zoom more, and then they would maybe say to you, "Hey, I'm not there yet," or they would go along with you,
right? That's you setting the standard, like we say.
Yeah. Well, anyway. We did it, Jordana. Once again, we're very excited. We have a special guest coming on the show, Sam Morril and Taylor Tomlinson. It's a great interview. It's a lot of fun with both of them. So interesting to hear a couple that's, you know, kind of been pushed a little, nudged into moving in together in the quarantine age.
Exactly. And we'll be right back with them.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. Very excited to have two guests today for your quarantine content life. This is a very cool episode for us. It's a very different one. Both of them are hilarious comedians. They both have specials that you can watch literally right now, one on Netflix, one on YouTube, and they're out there and they're wonderful and fantastic. Sam Morril and Taylor Tomlinson, thank you guys for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
This is so cute. They even share a mic.
Yeah.
we're not good at technology.
How many times have you gotten that this is cute? Like, this seems to be every woman's dream, every guy's kind of nightmare is what you guys are involved in.
Well, my nightmare was back in New York in my studio apartment. That was my nightmare. So being in a two-bedroom in L.A. is doable. This is not that bad.
Yeah. When he was considering going back, I was like, what?
Yeah. There's space and sun and heat here.
Yeah.
It's fun. You know, we're cooking a lot. We're watching movies. She's easy to cook for because she smokes weed and she's a vegan. So anything tastes good to her. So Perfect. She thinks I'm a good cook. Wow.
And I'm not a vegan, but sure.
but she eats mostly.
Vegan. Yeah. Not a lot of meat. No dairy. Nothing fun.
Wait. So back up for those less acquainted. Tell the world, our listeners, about like how you guys met, what your situation is, and like the deal with like your new quarantinement relationship thing. Can we like let's get a little background.
So, you know, we're both comics. So we had messaged before, and then we just, I was in LA and asked if she would open a show I was doing, and she was nice enough to say yes. And then, you know, just started texting a bit, and it kind of went from there, you know?
That's such a dude version of the story. Like, it's so right. like fast, and like, I don't want to give any details. Just like, you know, we just were talking and then we texted and, you know, I don't know. Now we're here.
Right. There's no specific day. So they can't like, you know, like.
No, he's good at remembering specific days, actually.
I'm just succinct, and somehow that's been turned into an insult. I don't know how having good word economy is a bad thing, apparently, now.
Oh, my God. With Jared, you would ask him like how long he's been dating his girlfriend, he'd be like, we don't need to talk about that. I've been dating for however long, well, that we feel like we've been dating.
It always feels like a got you moment. I don't understand why people have to know the date. Like, what's that going to do for you? Like, and then now we're a week apart and she's like, what happened during that week?
That's definitely I've gotten it wrong a couple times where I'm like, yeah, it's been like 5 months. And he's like, it's been six. Like, yeah. I think we've both done it for sure.
Now, you guys, how long have you been, you know, dating, and did the quarantine push things along? Like, at what point were you in the relationship, and was that like, hey, let's do this together? Was there ever a talk? Was it more natural?
We were just about 6 months, which is like right as the honeymoon period is supposedly ending. So it's like, oh, and now you're together all the time. And I mean, we were long distance. So this for us is like such a treat. Yeah. I mean, for really any comedian, no stand-up comedian who's on the road every weekend sees their partner every day and gets to sleep next to them every night. So this is the longest we've ever been with anybody that we've been in love with. So I was like, oof, let's see how it goes. Maybe for like a second at first, but I did really want him to stay. And like, we've been having a great time. I mean, I think we probably bicker less than we did when we were long distance.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And Taylor's right. You know, the honeymoon stage just ended. The fire went out, and then we went on lockdown. So that was great.
Which made things hot again.
But it was a make or break moment. You know, I'm here in LA. I was supposed to be at the Tempe Improv that weekend, and I was like, all right, do I get stuck in Phoenix or stuck in a hotel room? You know, or do I stay in Los Angeles? So it was a pretty easy choice, you know. And I think, I think it's getting better when you're on FaceTime all the time and arguing. You can't communicate healthily through text. So to be together and kind of talk things out, we have a moment where sometimes we'll like pick at each other and then we pause and we're like, is this fight worth it?
Right.
Mm. Right.
You know?
And then we turn on the news and we look at the death toll and we go, maybe it's fine that you didn't do the dishes.
Yeah, you know, I feel like
someone we know dies, and we're like, wait, maybe that thing you said in that tone is forgivable? I don't know.
Well, what's interesting is that you said it was like an easy decision. There's a lot of people out there, and we hear from them on this podcast being like, well, like, I've gotten many, many emails, and Jordana, we've gotten these emails that are like, hey, my boyfriend and I have been together 4 months, and he decided to go home. And I was like, hey, why don't you come over here? And he was like, well, and it is kind of like, Sam, you said it, where it's like, that was easy to say, like, what would I rather do? Be with you or be in the hotel? And some people are choosing the hotel.
I know. Well, I don't think it was an easy decision.
It's tough because there was a part where I was like, well, you know, you feel like I'm a New Yorker, I'm a native New Yorker. So part of me feels like a traitor for not going through the bad parts that the New Yorkers have to go through.
You're on our list.
We know.
It's my fault. there was definitely like that day where we were deciding, it was definitely like a high pressure day where there was like an hour where he was like, I got to go back. And I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't want you to for, you know, safety reasons. I don't want you on a plane. I mean, I think New York's going to escalate. Like, I had a lot of reasons why I wanted him to stay here selfishly, but I was also like, look, we've been together 6 months. I understand if you need to go back and be like at least near your family and your life. And I mean, then we went grocery shopping and he bought snacks he liked. And he was like, I'll hang out.
Once I hit the liquor aisle, I was like, all right, I guess I'll stay. But yeah, no, it's a big decision, you know? But then the thing that you have to realize is if I get on the flight right now, I don't know the next time I'm going to see her. So I totally get couples not wanting to take that next step, because if you're not getting along great, this is big to lock down during a global pandemic. That's like, you know, it's a big step.
Yeah. And it's not like you're a Cosmo rushing article.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
You're like rushing a sorority or fraternity together. You're like,
absolutely.
In it.
Yeah.
You're going, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think also, like, you guys, what's got to make, you said it's been fun. Like, you guys, you know, for the people at home, go follow Sam and Taylor on Instagram, because they're putting out, you know, you're putting out like a web series, an Instagram series. I don't know what you would call it, an Instagram series. That's great, of like quarantine couple. And like, you're doing a project together. Like, that's got to be fun and awesome too. Like, as opposed to, you know, like, you know, there's times in my day where I'm like, kind of like, I'm living with my girlfriend now in her studio apartment, and I put on headphones sometimes just to get out of her way. And yeah. I'm like, you know, like, I just want to, like, okay, I'll be in the headphone room just to, like, right? So I'll shut up and I don't, like, you know, start screaming and saying things. So I'm just like, I'll listen, go in my own head. And she's like, well, what's going on? And I'm like, what? Hello? Sure. You know, just like doing that all day. Where at least you guys are like kind of like working together a little bit.
We kind of had to. I think, you know, when we lose 4 months of work on the road as stand-up comics, you kind of think, well, what are we going to do to get even an illusion of control? You know, to feel mm-hmm. like we're doing something that we have control over. So making sketches, and we're doing a podcast now where we just, because we're watching new movies every night. And we're doing that couple thing that a lot of couples do, where we're like, you have to see this movie, it's important to me. So now we're doing a movie podcast where we watch the movie with the person and kind of break down why it's important and why they should have seen it. And it's just, you know, between that and doing sketches, it's, you feel like you're being semi-productive given the circumstances, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Sam was saying the other day, he's like, I feel like we're busier than we've ever been, because there's so much, like, there's just so much you have to do every day. Like, we're doing a lot of like phone interviews and obviously like Zoom podcasts and mm-hmm. obviously still kind of semi promoting those specials that we put out right before this to hopefully translate on into tickets on the road, which now is not a thing. So now we're just trying to like maintain momentum, if that's even possible right now. But it feels like for everybody in the entertainment world anyway, we're all kind of doing that. We're all just like, all right, how do we stay somewhat relevant through this? And should I even be doing that? Or should I just like hunker down and be quiet for a minute? But once we got into like, oh, May's canceled too, we're like, yeah. We need to do a podcast. And in addition to our podcast we already have, like, let's try to stay as busy as possible.
Well, even Trump is talking about his ratings. Even Trump is freaking out. The entertainer and Trump is like, I'm still doing good numbers, guys.
Right. That's so funny. So do you feel like, for relationships, let's say in that spot where you're not living together, but you're like an established couple, this is sort of a like make or break it kind of like thing. Like you're going, like you're either going to leave, you're going to leave the quarantine like way closer, or you're going to leave and be like, well, like I definitely got it. I know what it's like to be with that person and I am either interested or I'm not.
That's interesting. I mean, I think for us, there's nobody else we could have quarantined with is the other thing. Like we were coming off of so much traveling. I had come home 2 days before everything shut down from a run on the road that was Las Vegas, New York, Cleveland, and then back to LAX. So I was like, and he was coming off of a similar schedule. And it was like, I mean, we probably have been exposed to it at some point, right? Yeah. And at this point, if one of us gets sick, the other one's definitely going to get sick because we've been close to each other the last couple of days. you know, so for me, it was like, look, if you go home, you can't see your family, at least not right away. I can't see my family. So that was probably a factor as well for us. So I don't know how it would have been if we had been dating like 3 months and we lived, you know, an hour away. Because I have a younger sister who's been dating somebody for a year, and they're staying apart to be careful because they're both still working, and they live in the same city. So, yeah, I'm sure it's a make or break for a lot of people. But I also feel like if you are quarantined even with the wrong person, you're probably just happy someone's there, right?
That's probably true. It's like, here are your options.
Yes.
Yeah, there, but you can't do that, though, because if you're that person, if you stay with someone just for the company and then it's over, one of you is like, we're stronger than ever. And you're like, no, that's not what I was doing.
That would be devastating.
That's pretty fucked up. Yeah. And then also, you know, people, I mean, I'm sure you guys know people that have broken up right before this. And it's like, goddamn, can you imagine choosing isolation over your partner? It clearly wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if someone realized mid quarantine with me that they didn't want to be with me, I would want them to just leave immediately and like hopefully get it and get out there and, you know, be like.
You also have a lower bar though now, don't you think? I mean, like we fight about, like you're not going to fight with someone in quarantine like, man, I hate the way she chews. You know
you
what I mean?
You hate the way I chew?
No, it was an example of someone that
seems like you came up with it pretty quick.
It was a fight you would not pick in the scenario, Taylor.
I totally agree. I think this is like a terrible time to find out a deal breaker. Like I would hate to find out like a deal breaker in quarantine and then have to make the decision where they're like, I actually don't want kids ever and I hate them. And you're like, ooh, okay. I mean, I guess you can stay here. Yeah. Like,
right.
No, kids are great. but yeah, no, we were thinking about like part of us was like any person, like we should get a cat, you know, we should foster a kitten. And then it's like in two months, then what?
Then we got to give it back.
Well,
yeah,
that's so sad. I mean,
and it's your road cat.
Yeah.
It's
emotional support cat.
Yes.
I mean, in 2 months, do you feel like you're in a position to like make the decision of like, in 2 months, it could be weird to go, all right, I'll see ya. Like, you can't, you know, like, that's going to be weird.
Right.
Yeah, I think we're getting spoiled for sure. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll be separate and we'll be sick of each other by then and we'll welcome the space. But yeah, I think right now, I mean, for me at least, I want to speak for both of us because I would never do that. But
do you have a therapist living with you guys too?
Huh?
Do you have a therapist living with you guys too?
That's our next Zoom call after this. I think that's going to be tough for me at least to go back to like, all right, I'll see you in 5 or 6 days. Best case scenario.
Well, you know, New York's going to bounce back. You can fly in whenever you want. And, that is the weird thing is I've been in LA so much lately. So it was her turn to come to New York for a while. Like I've been here for like, you know, like most of February. So I was like, all right, but after this trip, you got to come to New York. And she was like, you got it. And now this happened. I was like, well, I really should have flipped that trip or something.
Okay. But you were out here doing press and stuff too. I mean, we were both out here for reasons.
Look what I started, guys.
Right. We'll let you guys play this one out.
I know.
Right
in front of us. It was my turn. I was supposed to be in New York for like all of April and a good chunk of May. And he had been here for a lot of this year already. And I felt really bad even suggesting that he stay. So when he was like, I have to go back, I was like, I mean, I don't blame you.
I bought an Xbox for us to play. We got Halo. We're doing co-op missions. I recommend that to any couple. If you have a fight, buy Halo, kill aliens together. It's a great team building activity.
Mm-hmm. We got a Nintendo Switch. And I feel like it has really help things.
It's huge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I think you need that bonding. You need something. When you fight, you need like a See, that's the hard part of long distance dating is you have to talk out everything. There's no hug. There's no like there, you know? Yeah. It's really, and I have to be careful with my hugs with Taylor because she accuses me of during fights, sometimes I'll hug her mid-vent. She'll be venting to me. I'm like, there, come here. And she's like, you're just trying to cut me off.
Yeah. And it worked on me for like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's like but such like, a you dude look like move.
You look like you need a hug.
Right, yeah, you're like, no, I'm still speaking. That's what there that noise is.
No, no, you've done plenty. Here, come here.
I've gotten that one too. We did just get a really good email on sort of on the topic of fighting in a quarantine type situation. I think we should do it. What do you think?
Let's do it.
I'll read it. Jared and Jordana, thank you so much for all you do. Been listening since the beginning. Love how the podcast is evolved. My boyfriend of 2 years and I are quarantined separately because he got sick early on and had to be isolated. We decided to ride it out apart to be safe since he's in New York City and I'm in Connecticut. I promise I offered to take care of him. I'm not a monster. Since this has started, we've been fighting way more than usual. The stress of being apart, my parents becoming ill, the uncertainty, etc., all seems to be taking a toll on the relationship and bringing up issues I didn't even know were there. For example, this morning we got into an argument about how he couldn't afford the vacation we took 4 months ago and is resentful that I made him go, quote unquote. What are your thoughts? Are these arguments a sign of the times, or is there a deeper problem in my relationship? Thanks so much. Stuck in the suburbs.
I mean, as somebody who will unearth old shit just to feel something, I completely relate.
That's fun.
I mean, it's great, right? When you're just like, it's 6 p.m. and all I've been is hungry and tired today.
Her memory is incredible.
Let's feel something else. Let's feel betrayed. I feel like it's definitely the situation. Yeah. It's also probably, I don't know their situation work-wise, but if they're losing work, they're probably going back through their head thinking all the times they spent money on something that they shouldn't have or didn't want to.
Right.
And like going, the vacation. Why did I do that? Yeah.
Oh my God. Can you imagine taking a vacation right before this? That would be brutal. You're just like, let's take some time. Oh, well, we lost everything.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with Taylor. I was just reading this article about how we're all grieving. And I think like we've lost so much, like not just work and time and socializing, but even a handshake to strangers, like there's a connection we've lost to the world. And I think that combined with all the time you have off has got to be making everybody a little crazy. So when you're stuck with someone together or apart, they're still in a relationship. I totally get why that would be adding to extra stress and more fights.
Yeah, and we're all trying to pass the time any way we can. Have you ever had a fight and just been happy it passed some time? You're like, ooh, that killed an hour right. and a half.
I think they should both get an Xbox and play on live and get those headsets and they could like kill aliens together. That's my idea.
Yeah.
For them. Connecticut, New York, you know, sync up.
I think also the big problem that they have is that she wrote in her email like, oh, he got sick at the last second. Like, she has this whole, like, sliding doors memory of what went on. and it's like, oh, we just missed being together. Like, the bus just went by. And it's like, now we're forced. It's like, I think having that, like, that look back is, like, not really a healthy thing. Where it's like, well, if we were together, because then you keep saying, like, well, if we were together, this wouldn't be this way. I think, like, there's a little bit of, like, a revisionist history when you keep saying, well, if we had just been together. I think she has to get used to, like, this is the reality without an end date. Like, as much as that sucks, like, this is what it is. Get used to it, sister. It's, you know, like, and it's the same goes for, like, the money that was spent. Like, yeah, well, that's things have changed. What are we going to do? You know, like, I you went on a vacation then. It's going to be fine in the future. Like, there'll be more vacations in the future, hopefully together. But, like, to concentrate on, like, well, you know, we would have been together. Like, I think, like, there's this thing. And when you write an email where you reference we would have been together, I don't think she's so sure.
But maybe that's where 2 years, right?
Yeah. I think if you wouldn't have been together otherwise, after 2 years, that's probably it.
Well, then why don't they live together? I mean, if once they're both not sick, just why don't they just live with one another if they've been together that long?
Yeah.
Maybe that would stop.
Yeah, it seems like it's they've like set this like this line in the sand that is crossable. Like, you're in the suburbs, take the car, park it in the city, go stay with them for the rest of the quarantine. Or, you know, like, there's, like, ways to, like, get back together, I feel like. Doesn't it seem?
Right. Well,
that's such a New Yorker mindset. You come to the worst hotbed of any of this, and you stay with me.
I'm looking that's outside. What I wanted. It sounds so
that's
bad.
Absolutely what he wanted.
That's like, what I would want to.
We could still go to the deli. It'll be all right.
Yeah. Listen. I was like, are you kidding me? In your studio? He's like, it's fine. It was your turn.
It's an L-shaped studio.
Well, I feel like the bigger question in this email or in this kind of question is it like, okay, when there's a crisis and things are stressful, are we supposed to like allow for more fighting, or these are the times that we should be like extra wary of how the person's responding and almost judge them more for it? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, is this like a preview into how you are right. in difficult situations, or do I excuse this because it's a difficult situation?
No. This is the playoffs. Everything else is a regular season game. This is when it counts. How do they handle bad shit? That's important. Yeah. Can you communicate during a bad fight? Can you make up if you don't have the ability? You don't want to be in if she were petty over every fight, I couldn't be in an apartment with her. You got to learn how to communicate.
That's why I'm only petty over like 10% of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
I keep it low.
She's like an agent. She keeps
reserve the 90% for after you get married. Then you're like, I can release who I really am now.
Yes.
I would hate to be in a relationship where every fight came down to, and you made us go to Mexico. Like, I would like fucking, I'd be like, if I have to hear about Mexico one more time, the $1,000 that is non, consequential to our life. Like, you're staying at home. Everyone's saving money. Yeah, I mean, the reality is, like, we're all saving money right now. Like, moving less means you're losing less money. Like, I know, we've lost income. We've lost, there's things that people have lost. But, like, if you're staying at home, we got to look at, if you can't get over that hump, like, when is this ever going to be let go?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, people who bring up past things and fights, it can be tiring. You got to stay on the present moment. Talk about what's going on right now. Like, if it sounds like you're holding a grudge.
Yeah. Unless you're in a situation where she is currently making you spend money on a vacation again.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah. Like, if it's continuing.
I want to go to Milan now.
Yeah. The prices are cheap. It's only $67 to go across the country. And it's like, yeah, because they're all dying there. I'll talk about my own situation. We're moving in the middle of this. Like, I'm moving to a new apartment. So, like,
oh, damn.
And my old apartment is like kind of perfect for a quarantine. If I'm going to put it bluntly, like, my old apartment,
I had a deck.
I have a one bedroom, had a big thing. It was easy to walk around because the sidewalks are big in Harlem. And then, but like, we have signed up for this move and I'm like excited for the move. But at the same time, like, I can't bring up every fight. Like, I can't bring up what would be again, my apartment was good for a quarantine. We didn't move with me going, well, what if there's a pandemic? We're going to miss this apartment. Right. Like, that's a fucked up way to, like, hash out our issues. Like, the vacation thing really would bother me. And for me, it's like kind of like a red flag deal breaker moment where you're like, dude, you're still bringing up the vacation that we both agreed to go on, that we both had no idea that a global pandemic was coming. Like, let it the fuck go.
You're allowed to say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't, if you cave, you can't just keep bringing it up forever.
No.
Yeah.
I think there's.
Yeah, you're dealing with someone who's looking for someone to blame.
Yes, exactly.
Even when there's no one to blame. Yeah. Well, that sucks. But let's do some red flag or deal breakers. All right, I'll do the first one.
Let's do it.
Okay. They don't reciprocate your looking forward to seeing you text.
I think it's a little rude. I think it's something you could bring up. I have to choose one of the two. I don't think I would break up with someone over it. I'd probably just say,
red flag.
Yeah,
the red flag.
Yeah, it's a red flag.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. It speaks to a little bit of a lack of enthusiasm. Should be annoying.
Yeah.
What if they thumbs up your looking forward to seeing you text? Are you?
Then you did something, and they're mad.
Okay.
It's almost more annoying. It's almost more annoying.
It is annoying. Yeah. That thumbs up is so passive aggressive. I hate it. Just give me the heart or give me nothing.
Yeah, right. Even if you did that to someone in live, like you're just like, they would look at you and go, get the fuck out of my face, you piece of shit.
Right. Unless it's from like a parent, a thumbs up is a real fuck you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if they didn't reciprocate my looking forward to see you text, I mean, I'd be like, I would always, if I said looking forward to seeing you, can't wait to see you, and then they just did nothing, I would go, okay, bye. Like, I would, like, follow it up. Like, someone you're in a relationship with, if you can't do the follow-up text, okay, bye, you piece of shit text, then you're not really in a relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they should respond, I'm so sorry, I wasn't looking at my phone. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that's why it's worse to thumbs up. That's why it's worse to thumbs up the thing, because then they could be like, well, I responded.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can't call them out on, like, the thumbs up thing, because, like, it's a fake response. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's do another. They lie to their family that you met online on dating apps.
They lie and say you met online, or they lie and say you met in real life?
I think they lie and say that you met in real life when you met online.
Red flag. You're just embarrassed to be on a dating app, which is crazy because everyone meets that way now. We didn't because we're better, but most people do.
We met on Instagram.
Kind of. Yeah, I
guess there you go.
Oh, you met on Instagram? That's the ultimate dating app.
Yeah. So technically, but yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I think it probably just also your parents don't get it. Like they didn't do that. You know, your mom doesn't know. Maybe your mom does it now, but like no one did that, you know, 20 years ago. So they don't get it.
Yeah. Your mom might think it's Craigslist.
You're about to go home and meet their parents and they're like, hey, my mom asks.
We met at a bar.
You're like,
I mean, I have a very honest relationship with my mom. She's heard me say horrific shit on stage. So sure, I would, it's not something I would do, but I mean, if a girl asked me to do it and it was important to her, it wouldn't be a big deal.
A girl? No, I'm joking.
I'm sorry. A woman of age. I don't even get why she's mad at me.
It's not
a woman
me.
Of age. I'm not a pedophile.
A woman of age.
Yeah, as someone who's spent a lot of their life bending the truth for their very conservative parents, I would not hold that against somebody. I'd be like, sure, whatever, we met at a bar.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it'd be fine as long as they prefaced it with like, hey, I know this is really weird.
Yeah,
that I'm asking you to do this. Go on.
Go ahead. I think if it's a parent, I'm okay with it. But if it's a sibling, I'm not okay with it.
Mm.
Because if it's a sibling, this is like, to me, I've been watching a lot of Real Housewives of New York. And there's the idea that like you're self-conscious in this like horse race amongst siblings. Like if you tell your parents, I get it, technology, I don't know how to explain it. They think that everything online is just, you know, Pornhub, and they have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. But if it's a sibling who gets it, who knows what the social media landscape is like, now you're in this, like, Cain and Abel fight that you're fucking dealing with for the rest of your life. So it's a little bit, I'm not saying it's a deal breaker, but it's a little more, it's an elevated red flag for me.
Right. That's a good point. I think if it's like also a friend, a sibling's more like a friend in age. So when they're lying to friends, you're like, are you embarrassed about me or something? So yeah, I'm with you, Jared.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. What's going to happen when I don't get the promotion?
Role. If the person is 50 and over, we'll allow the, it's okay to lie to them under that.
It's okay to lie to the elderly. That's what I got from this.
I told my parents we met on LinkedIn.
Really?
No.
Are you guys
on
LinkedIn?
Don't know about me.
They do now.
We'll send them the episode.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our last one. Red flag or deal breaker. A majority, if not all, the girls he's friends with always post provocative pictures and thirst traps, and he likes them from time to time.
I mean, I think it depends on the severity of the thirst trap.
It's like
like this if you want to eat my ass. Like, that's
a
problem.
That's a bad one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Caption dependent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fair.
Like how naked the person is.
If a woman's in like a bikini and she's like, my mom just recovered from cancer, you can like that probably.
Yeah. Who's doing that?
I don't know. I'm creating scenarios where it's okay, Taylor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
encouraging that person.
I feel like if you're a straight woman and that's a deal breaker for you, you're going to have a lonely life. Because I've never dated that good a dude who doesn't do that.
Hey.
I've never met one.
Well, you used to be able to keep tabs on this back when there was the Instagram follow page.
Right.
Now you have to be a real psychopath because you've got to manually check everyone.
Right.
Yeah, you would have to be a real psychopath.
I mean, I'm a huge stalker, and even I don't really do that. So I assume that you can't really, you'd have to be really crazy to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think you can do that because you can't see people's likes.
You'd have to like go through the pictures of the girls that you suspected and then like see and like check the likes.
Can you check people's likes? I thought you could only check your own now because it was
giving her ammo?
I totally forgot. We'll discuss this later.
Okay.
I'll give you the tutorial.
Yeah, give her the run through so she could be more suspicious. Exactly.
I'm the friend you don't want it. No one wants their girlfriend to have. Well, here's how we check.
Oh my gosh, I know. Have you ever talked to a girlfriend of yours about like checking someone's profile and they're like, you can use my fake one. And you're like, what? You just have a fake one?
That's a That's a quarantine fight. I noticed you like this picture. Fuck, we have 11 hours a day together. Right. This is too much.
If they're liking it, it's like, what's the, you know, it's, they're just, don't like them. Like everyone's looking, just don't like them.
That's my argument. Is like, it's like they just can't though. They just can't not do it.
Let's say they're like really, let's say this is a friend they've talked shit about in the past. Is it then okay? Like if they're like, this friend always posts this shit. Like it's like, cause it does say all the girls he's friends with. So let's say this dude went to high school with this girl and he's like, this girl, you're not going to believe what she posts. It's crazy, but we grew up together. Are you more okay with it? Or is it like, don't like those ever, no matter what?
No, then I'm like, why are you following someone that you're just going to complain about what they post all the time? Like, clearly you want to follow that person. So like, why complain about it?
Thou doth protest too much. I think it's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to
That's
get
like the
Where
worst
the deal breakers
way.
At?
That's like the worst way to wake up in the morning is to your significant other just scrolling Instagram going, did you like, just if that's the first question, like you're so fucked for the rest of that day.
Who has time to check who's liking stuff though? I get the following tab when that was a thing because you just see it.
Right.
Well, I guess as now, if it's the now first name that pops up.
Right. If it's someone they went to high school with, it would have to be someone you also went to high school with. To notice them liking stuff. Otherwise, you're just going to some chick you went to high school with page and going through her stuff.
There are people listening right now going, yeah, what's the problem?
we all have a lot of time on our hands.
I mean, now, yeah.
What better to do it with? To do with it, right? Yeah.
Well, Taylor and Sam, thank you guys so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Wow, we so much fun.
Look at that. You guys like the choir. Let everyone know where to follow you, where to get all your stuff. Taylor has a Netflix special everyone can watch right now. Sam has a special on YouTube. Where's the best place for people to find you both?
I'm at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram. Quarter Life Crisis on Netflix. TTomComedy.com.
I'm Sam Morrill, MORRIL on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, special. Just type in Sam Morrill. It should be the first thing that comes up on YouTube. And we got a podcast we just started together where we watch and break down movies called This Is Important to Me. It's a lot of fun. We did Goodfellas and Singing in the Rain for the first two episodes. We got Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield, Ep 3.
It's a good time, man.
Shows me Harry Potter for the first time. It's a lot of weird shit.
For the first time.
Exactly.
Right. Wow.
This is a great idea for a couple that's quarantined together. What you do is you watch the movie that you see in the title, and then you guys listen in the background. You have the podcast on after you guys watch it together. Let you guys take control of the brains for a couple hours so they don't have to talk to each other.
Perfect. Exactly.
It's the ideal pitch. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on. And that's our episode.
Boom.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.